Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 230, recorded on November 7th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How you doing, Adam?
Good. I'm just looking at my email and realizing that if you want to do advertising on my show, you shouldn't send it with the subject "Advertising in Korea."
Advertising in Korea?
In Korea. So, like, inquiry with an A on the end.
You know, I wouldn't worry.
You know, spell check your subject, or like look for typos in your subject line. Does not instill confidence in me wanting to.
Hey, you know what? As long as I get that money, that paper, doesn't matter.
No.
Are you agreeing with me or disagree?
I am disagreeing with you.
Okay, fair enough. Jeff Gamet is also here from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And apparently I'm serenading people today, so... Hey.
Yeah, it's good.
Ooh, nice.
It's Friday. It's time to celebrate because it's the end of the week. And we're talking about iOS stuff, of course. And the first thing on the top of the list is something that makes me very happy because it affects me and probably a lot of other people as well, which is that AT&T and Verizon have decided to boost the monthly data that they're providing for the various price points. So for those of you who had the 4 gig data plan, for example, on AT&T, you now get 6 gigs, which is pretty cool. And there's a bunch of other ones for the $20, $25, $40, and $70 charges. You're getting, actually, I guess only for the $40 and the $70, you're getting bumps. And there were other bumps too. But that's actually making me think I might go down to the new 3 gigabyte, which is $40, and because I use between 3 and 4 gigs.
Wait, who did this?
AT&T and Verizon. They've bumped their data allotments.
What?
It's weird to hear you say.
I just literally 2 days ago changed mine.
Yeah, I think it's effective like a couple days ago. Are you on AT&T?
Yeah. What the hell, man?
No, I think you're
so
probably.
So how much am I supposed to be getting now? Is this only on their standard plan?
This is for mobile share.
I have that.
Yeah. Which I think is what basically everybody has if they did the payment plan with AT&T, or they have more than one person or more than one device on their thing. So, yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm so confused. I don't even have one of these plans.
Are you sharing with the family?
Yeah.
Okay. So you probably have what's your data? How much do you?
I was at 6 shared, and then I just moved it to 10 shared.
Okay.
So now I'm all confused because this doesn't look like the same thing. So maybe I'm not on the family share. I'm on a family share plan.
I
thought it was called.
No, I think it's, so if you were on, oh, I don't know. Maybe they didn't bump those. There were some people complaining that people with the 10 gigabyte plans didn't get bumped.
But I had the 6.
Oh, how much do you pay a month? Let's put it that way.
Is
for
crap
your,
load a,
for your data,
an amount?
$130 less, more?
Is that a number, crap load?
You should, for $130, you should get 30 gigs. And then on
I
the other
have
side
no
of
idea.
The...
I'm not paying that much.
$70, you should be getting 6 gigs.
I don't know. I just know my whole bill is like $160.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I think there are some gaps in that, but...
Why can't they simplify this stuff, though? That's what I don't understand. Like, why does this have to be so freaking confusing? And why does it have to be if you have this and this and this and this and this? Like, can someone not figure out a simple way to do this?
I think they're doing it on purpose so they can continue taking advantage of us.
Yeah,
by confusing
exactly.
Us.
I think so,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly. It's designed to be confusing so that no one knows exactly what they're paying or what they're getting. So that if they come to you and say, oh, you went over, you have no ammunition to question it because you're like, okay, I guess I don't know.
I guess I did. I don't know.
God, I hate the cell phone companies.
Isn't it? So it's like $10 more per gig, right? That you, yeah?
I don't know. I'm going to go on myatt.com and check, but.
Okay, cool. Well, ultimately, you're getting more for less.
No, I don't think I am.
One may be getting more for less.
They're never going to give us more for less.
I am getting more for less.
No, why would they give us more for less?
I'm getting 6 gigs instead.
They took something else away somewhere. 4. I'm telling you, Michael.
Probably. I just haven't realized it yet. iOS 8.1.1, the first beta of that has been released to developers. And I assume it's bug fixes. I hope they fix the Wi-Fi issues on iOS 8.
That would be nice.
Are you getting Wi-Fi issues? Am I the only one?
Because
I'm getting them.
It's you.
Was.
But I'm not having trouble. But
I was, but I don't keep think hearing I from am people. Now.
Yeah, I was getting, because I'm not on Yosemite yet. But
me neither.
Yeah, so I don't know about the Wi-Fi problems there, but I do occasionally. I'll be like listening to a podcast, and suddenly it'll just crap out for no reason, and I try restarting it, and then I try bringing up a web page, and nothing's working, and then I toggle my Wi-Fi, and then magically everything works again.
That's a big bucket of awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah, this says I'm on a mobile share value plan. Getting back to
Do you
that.
Feel like you're getting value?
No.
Okay. Well, they should rename that because it's not correct. How about this? The 128 gig iPhone 6 and 6 Plus owners, you may be in for a surprise, and that surprise would be a reboot. So if you have a lot of stuff on there, I guess because they're using TLC SSD RAM, memory.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the triple level cell, I think, instead
yeah, multi,
of multi
and versus
instead
multi level cell. MLC, yes, and 9to5 Mac says this is bunk.
It's bunk.
Yeah, because they point out that you know this is based on an Apple discussion thread with 195 posts on it of people complaining about this issue.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Apple sold how many millions?
Well,
of...
to be fair. To be fair, I have a 128 gig phone, and yes. I don't think it's even half full. So I think that according to the logic, assuming that this is for real, one would not encounter any issues until you get to like two-thirds full.
Let me tell
full.
You this.
Right?
Let me cut you off there and tell you this. I'm pretty certain I have this issue, and I am maybe a third full on my 128. And I see the white Apple logo a couple times a week.
Okay.
And my phone reboots, and it's really annoying. And it's not even a full reboot. It's like a pseudo reboot.
Oh, okay. So I think that's unrelated.
No, I think it's directly related. So here's where I'm getting at. Is there may be an issue with this new flash, but it's probably the kind of thing where it was a batch on a small number of phones. Like they're spinning it. The media is spinning it like it's like an epidemic and the new RAM is totally wrong and Apple has to go back to the old stuff.
And of course they are, because the media loves taking anything that Apple's doing and turning it into a scandal.
Apple made, you know, tens of millions of iPhones, and it's plausible to me that maybe there was a batch of this new flash that had some sort of issue.
Yeah.
And there's a small subset of phones, and I may have one of these devices. I'm not even convinced I do, but, you know, if that is the cause of the issue, then, you know, they're going to swap them out, and that's probably going to be the end of it, you know. But
yeah,
I don't,
right.
You know, it's like
that's
probably
be the end
one
of it.
Tenth of 1% of all of the phones that they made does not make an epidemic, you know, at the root level of the. Of the flash. I don't know. It seems spun out of control to me.
Yeah.
Based on the information that they're basing it off of. And also, you know, cause Brian was on the show, the Mac show with me this morning when this came up, and he pointed out like relying on any data or information coming from supply chain is just, you know, you're just begging to be disproven.
Yeah, that's true. And that same deal, so that kind of ties back to the idea that Business Korea says that Apple's going to change back to MLC.
Right.
But okay,
I think there's a there's potentially a problem, and I think it's
I don't think really they would switch
small number of phones, and I think they're just gonna, you know, they got a bad batch of flash or something. If even that.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not convinced that that's the case, but that's much more plausible to me than, you know, all of this flash is bad.
Yeah.
And it's not bad.
Yeah.
And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but if they switched from TLC to MLC, wouldn't they have to take up more room? Wouldn't the physical chips take up more area on the board?
I don't know enough about the different types of flash.
You would think.
I mean, and does the end user really care? You know, and so
well,
supply chain also could be that they're using both.
What I'm getting at is, yeah, and that I guess that's possible, is they might have to redesign the whole situation if it was that dire. They would have to change, they'd have to increase the area that the flash took up and therefore redesign their boards and yada yada. It seems
I have no idea. Is it
blown
bigger?
Out
is it
of
different socket or is it just one different technology inside the chip?
I don't know.
But my guess is if they were to change chips, they would have to do some sort of redesign inside the case. And this is the kind of problem that I'm betting would have cropped up before mass production.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah. So it just seems unlikely, you know.
But then again, Apple is really dumb and they don't know how to make phones and they don't test them before they put them out. So who knows?
Right.
Anyone with an engineering degree could have told you that that phone would bend. Is what my engineering friends tell me.
Sigh.
Oh, those guys piss me off. Sorry. I digress. Not all my engineering friends.
The Benghazi people?
Yes, the Benghazi people.
Benghazi people, indeed. Apple Pay. Let's go to the good news first.
Apple Pay is awesome.
It is. It's really cool.
It is awesome.
I've only used it once because I shop primarily at Target. And I got to say, it's...
Don't shop at Target anymore.
No, I will. Continue shopping at Target. I will not use currency, though, because it doesn't exist. But...
Well, if you're going to shop at Target, then pay with Apple Pay and pick up in store. Like, pay in the app and then just go pick up.
Like, pay for my groceries in the app?
Sure. I don't know. Can you do that?
I don't know.
I am all for the boycott. I am boycotting. Like, I way prefer Lowe's versus Home Depot, but I'm not going to Lowe's anymore. I'm going to speak with my money, because this is the whole currency thing is ridiculous in my opinion.
Okay. Yep. Well,
I've been going to Home Depot, Whole Foods.
I'm going to move. We have all of our prescriptions normally at CVS or Rite Aid, and I'll go to Walgreens. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, for me, the nearest Walgreens is in Atascadero, so I'm not doing that. Although I don't often go to the drugstore, so.
At the very least, every time you go in,
ask them why can't I use my Apple Pay?
If you can pay with Apple Pay, just
irritate
take
them.
Take the harassment route.
Like, I like that. I'm a fan of harassment.
And then like, make a big scene. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't believe this.
And hold
up the line for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, be that guy.
Be really slow.
Awesome. So,
do it, Michael.
Slowly take out my credit card. I guess if I have to, I got to go to my car. Hold these things here. I thought it was a bit suspect.
And then turn to the person behind you in line and go, if they just took Apple Pay, we'd be done already.
Yeah. It is a bit suspect that at the, as soon as these locations stopped taking NFC payments, my local Target, stopped all the card readers stopped working.
Nice.
Every single one. They said they got an update that killed all of their card readers.
That's a big bucket of awesome.
So I had to hand over my card and then, but I could
did
still
they get,
do,
did they haul the big giant machine out?
No. It was just the consumer
they
facing.
Ones. They copied your card number down and your CVV code on a little,
on
legal
a notepad.
Pad.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll process these later. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
And don't worry, Michael.
Trust
it's
us.
Just as secure as the system they used before. Nothing to worry about.
No, the card readers behind the at the register on the side of the checker worked. It was just the ones at
payment terminals that they tried to disable the NFC readers on.
Yeah, because that's what I would assume.
The cashier scamming you and they were skimming your card?
I mean, it would have been the entire Target that was in on that deal.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy. Yeah, I would like to know from anybody else who shops at Target regularly if they also experienced a card reader outage like that. Because I was at Target yesterday. Well, it's back now. It works now.
Okay, and it was fine yesterday.
Okay, yeah, it was like the last 2 weeks or so.
Well, I guess it shows you how often I go to Target.
Yeah, cheapest grocery store around me. Whatevs. What else? They had over 1 million card activations in the first 72 hours of Apple Pay. So it shows it's popular. And this is my favorite one. Google Wallet is seeing a surge in usage since Apple Pay came out. So Google Wallet came out in 2011 and was pretty meh as far as adoption until the weeks leading up to and after Apple Pay. Google Wallet has
that's
spiked.
No surprise
because Apple doing it puts it in the zeitgeist and everybody with Android phones says, why can't I do that? Oh, I can. Okay, cool.
Which shows you how bad Google was at letting people know that they could do this.
Yeah. Hey, but it's good for everybody. It's good for everybody who wants convenient things and not currency.
Right. Yep, there you go.
But currency is never getting off the ground.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about currency. So CVS and Rite Aid have officially disabled Apple Pay. I guess all NFC, right?
Yes.
So if you have one of those contact cards, right? You can't use your contacty touch card thingy. You have to swipe it, which I guess is not that big of a deal.
They've peeved off Android people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they basically upset everyone with a phone.
Well done, currency.
What else? Yeah, so it was detailed. The process you go through to make currency work is you either scan a barcode or a QR code that they have, or they scan a QR code on your phone.
No, I think you have to do both, is my understanding.
Jeff?
I think it's one or the other, and it depends on the retailer you go into. So it's not like you know what to expect when you go in the store.
Yeah, because I think it's one of those.
It has to generate it, but it has to know. So I'm assuming if it'll just come up on your phone, then you have to have your location services on, and it has to know your location, because I believe it generates a specific code based on the retailer that you're paying at. And that's why I thought it required that you first scan the QR code at the register, because that tells the currency app, okay, I'm at this CVS or I'm at this location. And then it uses that data to generate your payment QR code that the checker is going to scan in so that you can actually pay against the app. Am I not right on that?
I think it's one or the other. And I think the reason they have two options is because the one where you scan the QR code where you take a photo of the QR code in the store is obviously a little bit less convenient, right? Because you have to make sure it works out. But it means that the retailer would not have to invest in a scanner that would actually scan a phone screen. You know what I mean?
Which means that's what everyone's going to do.
Right. But either way, it's a little bit more convoluted. Now, here's a follow-up question. Can you use Apple Pay if you don't have data service? If you're in a concrete box of a store where you don't get service.
Here's my thing on that. I would say yes, because I think what happens is with Apple Pay, your phone uses, you already have the data on your phone. So you have the bank card, unique ID that got generated when you added your card.
Uh-huh.
And then that is coupled with a one-time use, payment number that's generated again, I think, by the phone with the bank, with basically your phone number information and that one-time security code. And then that number and that data is passed to the store's
retailer
system, and
yeah,
the store is connected. So then I would imagine the store is doing the transmission of that data back to the bank system and payment, to collect payment. So I wouldn't think that it's going out through your phone to make that communication.
Yeah, because I would imagine there's probably some kind of public and private key kind of situation going on so that the banks understand what the code should look like and that sort of
thing. I would think the only way it won't work is if their terminal connection is broken.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure it still goes, the payment still goes through the terminal, yeah. whatever connection the terminal has. So I don't think it's reliant on your phone connection at any point because everything's stored on the phone in that secure enclave. I don't think your phone's doing any sort of communication to enable Apple Pay on the actual device once your card's set up.
That makes
now,
sense.
Now, you obviously couldn't set up a new card. I don't think you can set up a new card without having a connection.
That sounds totally reasonable.
Yeah.
Because it has to verify with your bank, and then it is going to call out to kind of check some things. But
mm-hmm. And so going back to the currency, we were speculating a couple of weeks ago that there are fines for breaking exclusivity. I guess there are no fines, but the guy who's in charge of MCX or the COO says
he said consequences.
Not cool, bro.
Yeah.
I believe is what he said.
I do want to bring up one potential Apple Pay security issue that I want to talk to you guys about. So later.
Okay. All right, well, before you do that, another thing the CEO of Currency said is that any of their partners that choose to leave NFC enabled, they're not going to do any promotion to help let customers know that they can go and use Currency at those stores. And
if they do what now?
Okay,
if
so
they don't disable the NFC.
Oh,
If you don't disable NFC,
you won't get stickers at your store or something.
Yeah, you won't get stickers or flyers or whatever it is that they're going to do to promote retailers.
They haven't
using
worked that out yet.
Currency.
But it's not
so Mayor Market is not going to get any promotional help from Currency.
Boo.
Because they opted to leave their terminals on.
Oh, well, that's cool. I've never heard of that, but okay.
They're an East Coast grocery. And I got confused. I said on my show, I called them Major Market because out here we do have a market called Major, M-A-J-O-R.
Yeah.
They're M-E-I...
J-E-R
or something like that? J-E-R.
M-E-I-J-E-R, I think.
And I think it's pronounced Mayor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Market.
Well, that's good for them.
Yeah, that's the awesome way to go. But it's unclear, too, if Currency will even let them use Currency, right?
yeah, that's who cares, unclear. Though?
Because there is an exclusivity clause, and they have confirmed, I mean, Currency has admitted to that you know, if you're in the Currency program, you're not supposed to take any other kind of contactless payment, form of payment.
Yeah, and you're going to want to use Currency, though, because, you know, they're good at the security thing.
And they have customers' best interests at heart instead of retailers.
That's a laugh. Except for the fact that they accidentally lost track of everybody's email addresses.
Yeah.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Unauthorized access to those. Whoops.
And major partner Target also announced that, you know, when they had the data breach with credit card numbers, all the same people, 540,000 email addresses or whatever, were taken as well.
Oh, all the Currency users?
No. This isn't a thing. This is separate from Currency. You know how Target got hacked, right?
How did they get email addresses?
They just announced today that, we investigated that breach and they also got email addresses. I don't know how. Through online? I don't know.
Dope. That's awesome. And everybody's saying that your social security number is required for Currency. That's not true. And supposedly you can hook up debit cards to Currency, just not credit cards.
You can only do debit cards.
Debit cards, not credit cards, and your bank account.
Yeah, they did say they're working on credit cards, I guess. I don't know.
But that wouldn't make any sense because the whole point of Currency is to...
It's to sidestep credit cards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But is there not a charge for debit card transactions?
Of course there is.
That's what I thought. I don't know. This whole thing's coming unraveled.
So, but if it's a direct to your bank account,
then there's no charge. It's probably less of a charge for debit, more for credit.
I'm not sure. I think it's the other way around. I think a debit card charge for a bank or for a retailer is a higher percentage than it is for credit cards.
Well, you got to wonder how.
But I'm not
I don't
sure.
think that's the case.
Square
that's
Cash. Square Cash is free, okay. You know, and you use your debit card, but they may be doing some fancy maneuvering with that.
I think the problem with credit cards is it's a percentage of the sale. I don't know. Maybe debit cards are a flat per transaction fee or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe that's what it is.
Okay.
All right.
I have no idea. I'm talking out my butt. But
we're all doing
the point is retailers really have been trying very hard to get it to the point where you're only using like prepayment cards, gift cards, and debit cards. And they absolutely love gift cards. I hate gift cards because gift cards are a free loan. They are a free loan to the retailer. An interest-free loan, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
You know,
potentially may never have to pay it back.
Well, and even if it's pennies left, you know, how many times have you had that card and you've got like 37 cents left on it, right? You're never going to go use that, probably.
I will, but most won't.
Most people won't. They're just going to throw it away, and now they've got 37 extra cents from, you know, hundreds of thousands of cards, and that's a lot of cash.
Uh-huh.
That's like free money.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Such a scam.
Yep. Okay, so we have to talk about, what else? What's up?
I want to mention this Apple Pay thing, because somebody brought it up to me, and I'm not sure all of this stuff. I'm starting to look into it a little bit, but, you know, someone did mention... So the way you add a card, right, with your Apple Pay on your phone is you take the credit card and you point the camera at it and it scans the number and then you verify the CVV2 code on the back, right?
Uh-huh.
So what somebody pointed out to me is potentially Apple Pay turns everybody's iPhone into a credit card scanner.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
They even verified this. They had, like, one of my listeners took his wife's card without her knowing.
Sure.
And scanned it into his Apple Pay and then went and bought stuff with it.
Oh, he's in the doghouse now.
but his point was, you know, what's to prevent the, you know, the waiter at your restaurant who comes and gets your card from just conveniently... putting your card into their phone.
You do get an email, though, saying...
Yes. Maybe. It depends on the bank. And this is what it came down to, is it depends on the banks that are handling it. And, like, I have Chase, and I don't think Chase did anything, and that's what he kind of confirmed. Now, some other banks, what they're doing is they're looking at... It seems like even getting as sophisticated as using the location services and looking at where the card was scanned, and if it doesn't match your zip code... Then they'll ask for another form of they'll like send you a text and say, oh, you need to put in this number or you need to verify your zip code. Or so
that's
some of the banks are requiring a second step to be able to actually add the card into Apple Pay, which is probably the right thing to do. And I don't know what the trigger mechanisms are. So, again, I'm still researching this. And so, like, the thing with his wife's credit card, I think the bank was saying, well, you were able to do it because it's the same card. Here's what it checked against. So it checked the bank card that was being scanned against the address that was on file with Apple.
Ah. Oh. Mm. Yeah, you know, it would be interesting to grab like a buddy's
your Apple
debit
store
card.
Account. And so if it didn't match, you know, if the card being scanned in, the address didn't match the address that Apple had on file for your Apple ID, then it required a secondary form of authentication.
I should try grabbing a buddy's credit card to see if I can make that happen.
Yeah, and again, it seems to be varying on the bank. So there is a little potential hole there. I'm not sure if it's a problem or not, but it potentially could be, and it's something we should all kind of be thinking about, and I'm going to be looking into it a little bit deeper.
Well, I think it would even be faster to just take pictures of each side, just snap, snap kind of thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, with Apple Pay, once it's on your phone that it's your card. So now I can walk in any place that'll accept Apple Pay, and they're not going to look for an ID. They're not going to look for any other form of identification.
This is true.
Right? Now, the one thing that you will get notified, though, is you're going to get an alert on your phone that your card was just used. So a thief probably has one shot to use your card, your Apple Pay. Because, you know, it's going to pop up on my device. Hey, you just used Apple Pay to buy X. So, you know, how far you can get with this, I don't know. But it was an interesting thing that I had not thought about. You know, it's like someone else could potentially scan your card. But again, I think you would get that text notification, even if it was used on another device. You know, like if I have the card registered on my Apple Pay and then somebody else registers it on another device, I don't know what happens.
That was
something to think about.
To try.
Yeah. So there's some testing that needs to go on, I think, and some research that needs to be done. for this, you know, this is a physical hack. I mean, there's lots of things involved here. I mean, if someone physically has your card, I mean, you've got a problem. But the scenario of, you know, a waiter taking your card to go back and pay potentially, you know, that has been an issue with physical cards in the past, right? They had those little scanner things that people could get to swipe numbers off the magnetic strip. So it's a similar kind of attack. And you have still all those protections in place too, right? Because it's a credit card, you're not responsible for fraudulent charges. It just becomes a hassle. And it just is potentially one attack vector. It's the only one with Apple Pay that I've seen that is potentially, hey, yes, maybe there is a little bit of insecurity here. It's still infinitely many times better than the current system we have with swiping and buying credit cards, but just interesting to think about.
Well, and people always find a way to abuse the system.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's time to talk about our sponsor this week, which is Smile Software with Text Expander 3 plus custom keyboard. And of course, we're excited to talk about this because it's like one of the best pieces of software that you can have. Entirely genuinely, it's one of those things that I just can't function without on my Mac. And now on my phone, because with iOS 8, of course, you can have custom keyboards. So now you can get all of that sweet, sweet Text Expander magic on your phone, no matter what app you're in. On iOS 8, you just install the app and away you go. It's only $5 on your phone, and I highly recommend getting it, because especially if you have it on your Mac, because it will sync, of course, with I believe through Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, syncs through Dropbox, and so you can do so many different things with it. So you can do things like I'm sure you type out your address occasionally every now and then. I have a little shortcut that's HAdder for my home address. I just type HAdder and pop. It just, my address just appears there with Text Expander. You can also do things where you can position the cursor in certain places. Like I said, it's multi-line, so it's way better than the included iOS keyboard shortcut thingy. You can do smart snippets that integrate date and time or whatever you have currently in your clipboard. It works great in Mail, Safari, Messages, all that kind of thing. email address, I barely ever type my email address anymore, thanks to Text Expander. And you can actually sync with your Mac as well. If you don't want to use Dropbox, for what it's worth, you can sync directly to your Mac. You can also do fill in the blank style snippets with multiple inputs.
I use those a lot.
That's called forms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fill in fields.
Yep. Yeah. So if you have an email that you send out regularly, or just something that you type often, but it has multiple things that you need to input, you just type up your dummy text, select where you want to put your input deals. So you type your shortcut out, and it expands all the stuff, and then it asks you for each field, what do you want to put in there? You type in each field, and I imagine you can even use Text Expander snippets for those fields, right, as you're typing those fields.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
You can go, totally.
What about if you want to...
You can go Inception with your snippets.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to say.
Can you put a form in a form? A form into a form input? And then so it's asking you about the
I don't know if I've tried that yet.
It's a little recursive.
That's like three levels deep.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in limbo on that one. But
you probably can, though. That's the awesome thing about Text Expander.
Yeah, it's totally cool. And like I said, nesting of other snippets, current date and time, clipboard contents. There are tons of little macros. And of course, they respect your privacy.
I have a bunch of emoji ones.
Oh, yeah. So you can like type pee poop and it'll just type the poop out, the smiling poop.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. So you can do it with basically anything. You can do plain text, formatted text, which is super handy, especially on your phone, because you can make your formatted fancy text on your Mac have it sync over, and then you can do your shortcut thing. Like if you want to, like for example, like the Apple character, it's hard to type that on an iPhone, right? I think impossible. So you can put that as
not with my little tip I gave.
That's right. Check out Adam's tip.
Well, what's that? Using Text Expander for it?
Now using the built-in.
Well, you could use it with Text Expander too.
Exactly.
Yes.
Even better.
And it will integrate with all your other shortcuts and stuff like that. You can also do, what did I say? Predefined groups, emoji, accented words, symbols, HTML type stuff. So if, like, it's awesome for programming. I almost forgot that. So if you do any, especially if you're one of those people who edits things occasionally on your phone, especially for those people who have like iPhone 6 pluses where you have to occasionally do a quick like HTML edit, have some HTML stuffed away in Text Expander, boom, you're good.
Well, and even better, they have a whole set of HTML snippets already built out that you can just download and sync over.
It's like anything that you can think of that would make your life better text-wise, this will take care of it for you. So check it out. It's $5 if you haven't already. And if you, whether or not you have already downloaded it or plan to download it, it would be awesome to send them a tweet thanking them for their support of the iOS show, because we sure appreciate it and they want to hear from you. And that would help us out a lot. So tweet at TextExpander. Just let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the iOS show, and especially how much you love Text Expander, because it really is awesome. So we thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. And with that, I want to hit this one rumor about the next gen iPhone, just so I can hear Jeff say his tagline, his catchphrase about the next generation iPhone going to have glasses free 3D display. And Jeff, you say
fake.
Yeah. Didn't Amazon try this and like totally fail already?
They did.
Yes, they did. And what is the value in 3D display?
It's 3D. You
from
could
Apple's
ask
perspective.
You could ask the same question. You could ask the same question about 3D movies.
I guess, but we're not talking about a movie
it's
here.
It's a little
we're
bit more legit.
Interface.
Yeah, it's a little bit more legit to have a 3D movie, I guess.
Yeah, because there's an entertainment value to it.
Yeah, because you're just sitting there to be entertained, and if
you so, know, I mean, maybe for gaming. I mean, gaming we're talking. If you talk about the Nintendo 3DS, which was a glassless,
and that
3D
worked
display,
out. People
right?
enjoyed that.
It okay, was now, janky. I'm was, sorry. Yeah, I know a lot of people really like it, and I'm probably going to get some emails. But, yeah. You know, I don't have one, but I went into the store, you know, GameStop or wherever it was, and the guy was, like, showing it off, and I'm like, eh, okay. You know, so
you're too old,
like
Adam. You're
game.
Too old
it looks
to
like,
that.
Looks like I'm playing a game on my 1978 Viewmaster. That's awesome.
You can turn off the 3D
Yeah, that's
part.
It exactly. That's what it looks like.
Yeah,
you know, I could see if Apple could come up with a really good system, but it would end up being proprietary for displaying 3D movies, say on your iPad.
Yeah, I would get okay. So if it was 3D
movies,
on your
would have
iPad,
to be re-encoded
but...
just for that. Yeah, yeah. Good luck getting that to happen.
Let's throw on top of it that hey, they're going to have a touchless touch interface.
A touchless
wave
touch
your
interface.
Hand over the phone. Oh. Don't even have to touch the screen.
Yeah, the minority report interface.
No,
yeah.
It'll have a mind link function. It'll just pick up your vibes and you just think about the music you want to hear and it'll play it.
And then as soon as Siri starts referring to us as copper tops, get worried.
Is this a Matrix reference?
Yes.
Totally.
Okay, good. I got that one.
We're moving there. But
Matrix. We're moving to the Matrix. Hi, welcome to the Matrix.
We've got Amazon Echo now.
Gah. Okay. I think I got an email about that. I think it said like introducing Amazon Echo, and I look at it and I'm like, what? It's a cylinder? What do you want me to do about this?
It's a Bluetooth speaker listening all the time.
It told
everything that you're saying.
To sign up to potentially be invited to purchase this $200 cylinder that I don't care about.
I want to point out that
correct,
everyone's freaking out about Yeah, it's $100 for
if
for
you're Prime a Prime members.
Member. Yeah.
And who isn't a Prime member?
Well, dummies.
So everyone's freaking out about the NSA potentially listening to everything that we do, but they'll drop $100 so Amazon can do it.
Yeah, okay. People, you do realize that the NSA listens to what Amazon gets because they don't. Amazon will give them all the data. They don't give a shit.
I am just picturing every echo being like piped into a special line on Amazon. At Jeff Bezos' house. Guys, I gotta go grab the door.
Okay, yeah, sorry. That's fine. No, it's totally
Adam's echo being delivered.
Good. No, it's just like that episode of South Park where they the TSA, the Toilet Safety Administration, where there was the really fat guy sitting in his lounge chair just like watching this giant wall of screens of everybody going to the bathroom. It's like that. There's going to be Jeff Bezos. He's going to be sitting in like a panopticon type room, watching everybody and listening to everybody. Just like those. This is totally tangential, but we went to Chili's the other night just because why not? Let's go to Chili's. And they have those stupid Zeus. That's something else. What's the little panel thing they have at the tables? Z desk. You know what I'm talking about.
Is it the thing for trivia?
It's a thing where they've realized that everybody in society can't handle not looking at a screen for more than 5 seconds. And even though you're there eating dinner with somebody, you can't like talk to them. So they've provided screens so you can pay $2 for an app that you're going to use for 30 minutes at your table.
No kidding. I guess that shows you how long it's been since I've gone to Chili's.
Yeah, anyway, it's worth seeing those things. But every time we go to Chili's, I immediately turn the thing away from me so I don't have to look at the advertisements. And it was really funny. They ask you whenever you go in there, do you know about our Z-Desk or Zeusk or whatever it is? And I say, yeah, thank you. We're good. And I turn it away. And it turns out I did a search on it for some reason, and I guess they have cameras on these new ones. And so we were talking about how
what you're doing.
Yeah, we were talking about how there's a guy in the Chili's control room doing the same thing, just like looking at a giant screen, like just enjoying people eating food.
Now I'm picturing the guy sitting in front of a wall of displays like Ozymandias.
Yeah, he has a giant wall of displays, and he has hand lotion. But it's not for his hands. Well,
no, it puts the nuggets in the basket.
Yeah, let's not. Adam, are you back? I guess he's not back.
No. So we can still go on with making movie references.
Gosh. Okay, we were talking about the 3D display on the phone. So
and we've established fakety fake.
Yeah, I sure hope so. But then again, well, let's not get into it. Apple Watch. Tim Cook, he was at All Things D, right? Or am I pulling that out of my butt? He was at D. Right?
Oh.
He was talking about the Apple Watch, and he said that you're going to have to charge it daily.
Didn't the name of it change because
WS
and Kara they have Recode now, and so now it's
So now it's called WSJ.D conference. WSJD. That's what would no, that's not it. Jesus do. That's not it. That's something else.
That's something totally different.
That's a different conference.
Totally different conference. One that I'm certain I'm not welcome at.
Yeah, we're just gonna move on. So, but yeah, he says you're gonna have to charge it daily, which we kind of expected.
I have a problem with that. I think they need to figure out how to make it so you don't have to charge it daily.
So it can track your sleeping habits.
So you can track your sleeping habits, and like if you look at the Microsoft Band, it goes 48 hours.
Yeah, but that thing doesn't have a display on it.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's a tiny one, right?
It's a tiny one.
Simple. It's not doing nearly as much stuff as the Apple Watch is doing. It's not showing like butterflies flapping its wings.
Right, but that doesn't matter from a consumer standpoint.
Oh, it doesn't? I didn't realize that.
All they care about is if they don't remember to charge their watch, that night, they're not getting an alarm in the morning.
Yeah, that would be a bummer.
Yeah, so Apple needs to figure out something about the battery life, because a 24-hour battery life is going to be a problem for a lot of people.
I wonder if someone, let's say if you set an alarm on the Apple Watch and the Apple Watch was at some point saying, holy cow, I'm almost running out of battery. I'm about to run out of battery. And this person has an alarm. Let's tell his phone that he needs an alarm later. And then the watch dies, but the phone knows that the watch is dead. So it does the alarm for the watch.
And it rings in the other room and you don't hear it. But the idea, I think, is smart. Yeah. Have a fallback system where the watch is intelligent enough that it will hand stuff back off to the phone when it knows that it's going to die.
Yeah, I mean, it's already linked up to a phone anyway, so why not?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. And the new Apple retail chief, Angela Arentz, how do you say it? Arentz?
I think it's Arentz.
Arentz. Angela Arentz says that in spring we will see an Apple Watch.
So now we've narrowed down the time frame a little more.
Just very, very slightly.
Yep. So we know that...
End of spring.
I'm interpreting this to be March is the earliest we will see Apple Watch.
Yeah, that's pretty early. I hope they take their time on it, because it's clear they've rushed out some products lately.
Yeah. So really, if people aren't actually able to buy one of these till June, they shouldn't be surprised.
I mean, Apple, at this point, they've put out the word, hey, we're going to have an Apple Watch. I don't think they're losing any sales by taking a little more time.
They'll lose some, but I don't think it will be significant. I mean, they're going to lose some to Microsoft Band. They'll lose some to the Fitbit Surge when it comes out, and some of these other products that are about to launch. But...
not a huge deal long run.
I don't think it'll be a significant number of losses, because those products I don't see as direct competitors, but in a manner of speaking, they're competing.
Sorry.
Because they can steal some of those sales, just not very many. Yeah. We missed you while you're gone.
And pool guy's here. So
dog's
going nuts.
So we were just talking about the Apple Watch coming out in spring.
Yay.
iPads. iPad Air 2. This was interesting. The iPad Air 2, the display is awesome because of the anti-reflective situation they have going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm excited about. I'm hoping they're bringing to... I guess they've begun spreading that across like the Mac lines and that sort of thing. Over the years, the glossy MacBook Pros have become less and less glossy, or at least less and less reflective, which is really good, because I'm going to try and get a new MacBook Pro, a Retina, because my 2010 matte display MacBook Pro is a little long in the tooth. Actually, it's a little heavy.
I love the Retina display, but the reflective part just drives me nuts.
Yeah. Is that what you're running right now?
It's one of my computers. It's not the one I'm using at the moment, but yeah.
Yeah. So
it's the glare's annoying.
But the mini, I guess, is the display is just kind of still sucking. It's 62% color gamut, as it has been since it got a Retina display. It's the only one without
the same display.
It's not a sucking display.
Well, it's not as good as the Air 2, because it doesn't have the anti-reflective coating.
True.
It's still 62% color gamut. And I mean, I guess that's all there is to say about that.
It's the same display it had before. So I mean,
it hasn't gotten worse.
You're happy with the iPad Mini display
before the
iPad Mini 3, then it's nothing's changed.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was a cost thing.
No,
no,
it's a differentiating factor.
Oh, okay. Does the Mini have a switch that only I care about?
Yes.
I think I care about the switch too.
I think they did not change. The only thing that changed on the Mini 3 from the Mini 2 was Touch ID.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
That's what they should have done with the Air, but let's not beat that dead horse. I like this story about iMessaging and FaceTime ranked as the most secure mass market messaging system by, who was this? By the EFF.
Yep.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they still say all of the commercial offerings suck in terms of security.
Well, of course they would. So, yeah, FaceTime, they get check marks on everything except for you can't verify the contact's identity. And the code is obviously closed source. But the code has been audited. The past communications are secure. If your keys are stolen, it's encrypted. So the provider can't read it, and it's encrypted in transit, which is cool.
I think they're still peeved that they can't verify or not confirm or deny an NSA backdoor.
Yeah, that one's tough. We have to just take it on Tim Cook's word that they have not yet been taken out in a box, as he says.
But Apple's terms of service do say that they can give certain information to, and they even have this, I think, on their site somewhere. You know, we've talked about it before. There's certain kinds of information under certain kinds of requests that Apple is able to provide.
Yeah, probably more metadata stuff than anything else, not specific communications. But it's, you know, it's right. Interesting on one hand that the was it the director of the FBI or one of the higher ups at the FBI, of course, was making a stink about how Apple can't access iMessages.
Yes. Yep.
And
that to me either says, well, on one side you could say, okay, it's legitimate, he's peeved, and haha, good for you, it's not going to happen. They're not going to make it so you can look into it. On the other hand, you could possibly say that this is all a game, that Apple does have a backdoor, and they're just saying, and the FBI
it's
is
okay
saying,
to take off the tinfoil hat.
Oh, God, yes, I need to take it off. I'm sorry. It just came over me.
I know. Sometimes it happens, and that's why we're here, Michael. We're going to help you through this.
Yeah.
There is no backdoor. There is no conspiracy.
I don't think
the FBI
is
pissed off because Apple didn't make an easy way for them to hack into to our private communications. And there you go.
I'm sorry. I just had to. But I certainly feel more comfortable using iMessages and FaceTime than I do using any other form of communication.
And Amazon Echo?
God.
To bring it back?
Can we get one of those, please? I really want one. I don't know what it does, but...
I just want to say weird things around it and see what sort
see
of
how long it takes for the
showing up at my house.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still just visualizing the whole thing going into an interface in Jeff Bezos' house and
totally.
Him just like being able to flip through different channels and listen in on people.
It's like the other episode yeah. of South Park where it was the cable companies and they were trying to get some satisfaction out of the cable companies and they just had these little pockets so they could rub themselves, little trap doors on their shirts to, you know, like, ooh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. It's really terrible. Sorry.
That's just awesome.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about GT Advanced real quick? About the insanity that's going on with that? Jeff, I imagine you have a lot to say. You want to set us up for what's going on, that they're the SEC, just from the point of the SEC getting involved up to like what we know now.
All right. So the thing with the SEC is that they've launched an investigation into GT Advanced trading and securities activities. And so they aren't elaborating right now on exactly what that involves. But considering we have the news that the CEO had prearranged a sale of a bunch of his stock, like $10 million worth, and the COO had arranged for sale of stock, or both of them over the past year, and his was like something over $1 million. It's easy to see where the SEC would be conducting an investigation, looking into whether or not they used insider information to sell off their stock before the value dropped and then they filed bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's really what's happening. And yes, I know that these types of transactions have to be arranged in advance, but if you have the right information on the inside, you can plan those sales.
Yep.
And in this case, they were able to cash out some serious money before the stock tanked because before the iPhone 6 introduction.
It's like the day before he sold off his stock.
Yeah, so it was at like $17, and where it sits today is around 50 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a feeling that the SEC is not amused. And they're requesting documents going back to January 1st, 2013. And that totally fits with investigating the CEO and COO.
Yeah. And I guess they're saying that basically Apple was a giant bully and forced them into a situation that they couldn't resolve. Essentially, Apple was just trying to screw them.
You know, I'm having a really hard time feeling sympathy for GTAT right now.
No. Yeah. Why? I mean, who cares? Apple would not spend time just trying to screw some company. Yeah, I think
and they were complaining about the contract. Well, it's so one-sided and it favored Apple and not us. Then don't sign the contract.
Yeah, that's how it works. But I mean, them saying, so GT Advance said that Apple told them during negotiations, put on your big boy pants and accept the agreement. Yeah. That's how it works.
Of course they did. That's negotiating and you strong arm to get the best deal you can. And GTAT should have played hardball as well. But it sounds like they didn't. And in the end, they're like, well, we had to sign the contract because we'd invested so much time in it. And so we just had to do it. And I'm like, no, you
sound like the worst business people ever.
I know.
I mean, I know Apple is a juggernaut, and I'm sure they push their weight around extensively. There's no doubt. But
of course they do.
You know, you don't get into that game if you can't handle it. And then you certainly, when things go bad, you don't sit there and sort of... I mean, they're coming off to me as very whiny and complainy, and, you know, they're playing this victim role, and it's like, you entered a business agreement that was ridiculous. Like, yeah, nobody in their right mind
knowingly
would have agreed to this.
Yes, they knowingly entered into that agreement.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and if Apple, even if Apple did the first thing that they said, like, where they said, oh, they were going to buy the furnaces and for us and let us run them, and then they changed that deal, they should have just said, well, fine, we're out, you know? We're done. We're not moving forward. They should have cut bait at that point, but they didn't.
Nope, they just kept going on and on and ultimately signed the contract, and they signed a contract that they couldn't fulfill.
And what's weird to me is I kind of get the feeling, and they're not making it sound that way now, but I think they honestly believed that they could pull it off. You know, that's the only way you would enter this kind of deal, is they somehow honestly felt that they could meet the demands that Apple was going to meet. And had they been able to do that, they would have all been super rich, you know?
Right.
So I think greed
came
into it.
And as it turns out, a couple people are super rich.
Yeah.
Only two.
I think some greed came into it and they just, you know, they lost their heads. Mm-hmm. They were after the money and then it went south, and now they want, just like all people do, they want somebody to blame. And so they're going to blame Apple. But really, when the more and more details that come out to me, just sounds like, wow, you made a really bad deal. And yes, Apple did totally strong arm you,
but
you still made a bad deal.
Yeah.
Put on your big boy pants now and accept what you did and that you screwed up Royal.
They could say no all the way up until they signed the contract. And they didn't do that. They said yes and they carried on. And look at them now. Bankruptcy. They've fired 700 and something employees, and they have creditors knocking on their door, and it's just an ugly mess. And now an SEC investigation. This is not going to get better for GT Advanced.
Nope.
It's sad too, because I feel bad really for all of those people that were promised jobs. I feel, you know, like the state of Arizona put a big investment in this thing, and they're getting, you know, the raw end of it. You know, so there's some people that are going to be hurt pretty badly by this whole thing. And they're just people that were just, you know, they weren't part of this bad dealing. You know, they're just victims of it. So there are actual victims of it, but certainly not the executives at GT Advanced.
Oh, no. Yeah, they are not victims in this at all. But all the employees that that they screwed over. And then how about companies where they were buying equipment and materials from that aren't going to get paid? What impact is that going to have on the employees at those companies?
Yeah. Apple's not a victim either. And I've seen that sort of spun too.
Oh, Apple's not a victim in this. No.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I do love that that Apple's negotiators are like, look, this is just the deal that we do with everyone. Put on your big boy pants and sign it.
Sounds right to me.
That's pretty awesome.
And what should have been turned around and said is, we do have our big boy pants on and you're trying to screw us. We're not signing it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, I think my internet's getting ready to be bad. It's becoming bad.
Maybe it should put on its big boy pants.
It really should. So we're going to talk
picks.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our picks. So, Adam, you want to go first?
Yeah, let me go first in case I am might have a phone call coming in and I might need to drop off here. So,
okay.
And this is something I'm just going to caveat it. I have not played this a ton. I discovered it last night on the App Store, but if you listen to the show, you know that I'm a big fan of sort of these, narrative style games, like text-based games. And also things that are just really pretty visually and have creative navigation in terms of taking advantage of the touch interface on our iOS devices. And I found something yesterday that sort of brings all of these things together. And it's a new game called The Sailor's Dream. And what it is it is, I haven't figured it out yet, honestly, but it's these beautiful, the theme is you're in this sort of dream world of a sailor, and there's these different locations that you can travel to and explore around, very sort of mist-like.
Oh, okay.
And it's really neat how the swipe interface works. So you're kind of on in this ocean landscape and you swipe back and forth to go to the different locations, and then you'll swipe down to enter a location, and then you sort of swipe back and forth to travel between different points, and you can touch on different elements and they'll react in different ways. What I haven't figured out is what the goal yet of the game is, but it seems to be you're trying to collect these songs that one of the characters is sort of put into glass bottles and kind of thrown into the ocean. And so there's a music element to it. And like I said, I just discovered it. And I think I'm really going to, so far, I love it so far. Just because
these graphics are awesome.
Yeah, the graphics are gorgeous and beautiful. The sounds are beautiful. The whole, you know, way they're using the interface is very creative and new and fresh. And so I appreciate all those things. So just as a form, I'm recommending it just as a form of art.
Yeah.
To kind of look at. It has this really cool thing, like, too, when you get to a certain point, you discover more of the narrative, the text narrative. So you get to a place where you're reading kind of the story. But obviously, the bits of the story are disjointed, so you're going to discover them in whatever order you discover them in. But as you read through them, you're reading the story, and then at the bottom, the first one I got to, at the bottom, there was a print button. I'm like, why is there a print button? And so I hit the print button and it brought up my standard print interface for my, you know, e-print printer. And then you'd print it out. And what it printed out was a little line illustration of the thing that was described in that portion of the story.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
So there's like a whole physical element to it as well. Like I said, I haven't figured out exactly what the goal is or what I'm supposed to be doing yet. But just as a whole piece of art, I think it's really cool. And I'm sure that other stuff will be discovered as I play it. Like I said, it's very Myst-like. But I haven't found the kinds of puzzles. Like I keep looking for, is there going to be some sort of puzzles I need to solve? And maybe there are, and I just haven't figured them out yet. But I kind of like that kind of stuff. I like the exploratory nature of it, like I said. And it's very visual. It's very narrative. It's got great audio. So, and I think it was like $2.99 or $1.99. I can't remember what the price was. It was not very
expensive.
Looks
like $3.99.
$3.99. So $4. And just for the artistic elements alone, it's worth checking out. So
neat.
The Sailor's Dream, it's called. And it's from the same folks that did, and I haven't played these, but I've heard great things about them. Year Walk. Did anybody ever hear play Year Walk?
No.
Or they had another sort of espionage style one. And they also did this, the same studio that did Bumpy Road, which is a really cool sort of side scroller.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw the Year Walk thing. I didn't actually play it, but it's the one with the little goat head icon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, same studio.
Cool. Okay, Jeff, what is your pick this week?
My pick is something that a friend gave me as a present, and it turns out it's really cool. It's called iPin, and what it is, it's a laser pointer that goes into the audio jack on your iPhone, and then there's a companion app that you go and download. And so it turns your iPhone into a laser pointer. Yeah, and it's like I want to say like $50 for the little laser, and you can get it in two lengths: one where it sits flush with the body of your iPhone, and the other one where it sticks up a couple millimeters in case you have a case on. And it's designed so that you have to twist the barrel of the laser, so that it actually makes contact with the contacts inside your phone.
Huh.
And then it works. So if you just want to leave it in your phone all the time, you can twist it so it's in the off position and you don't have to worry about accidentally firing up the laser. But then again, you have to have the app running to do
okay. You have to have the app running too. Interesting. So the audio port provides enough power to power a laser.
It certainly does. I've been playing with it for a couple days, and it's fantastic. I haven't had enough time to see what sort of impact this has on overall battery life.
I can't imagine it would draw that much power, but...
Did you say it's $50?
$55. So, okay, so now the benefit of being able to leave it in and twist it so it's in the off position, and I learned this right away. I got a call while I was playing with it, and I couldn't hear anything. And it's because it was in the on position, so my iPhone thought I had headphones plugged in.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Neat.
It's really cool. And
is it $50?
$50.
Sorry, right? I got hung up on the price. It's a laser pointer, right?
It's a laser pointer. So yeah. So if you went to have
so
a
like
laser
the same
pointer,
thing that I could get for like $5 at a.
Yes, it is
convenience store.
It is a $55 laser pointer.
Yep. The big difference that I
sorry,
that
I
see with this.
I don't want to jank your pick.
Oh no, it's not cheap, but it's really cool.
Yeah.
The benefit that I see from this is that I don't have to carry a second laser pointer with me, and I don't have to deal with the thing I deal with almost every time I go to use my laser pointer, which is the batteries are dead.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And with this, it's not an issue. It's just there, and as long as my iPhone has a charge, then I can do my laser pointer.
I wonder if it would encode the music. If you play music instead of using the app, if it would like encode it with light.
That would be really cool, and it wouldn't surprise me if you could do that, even if they haven't written the app to do it, or I don't know.
Yeah, because it's producing different amounts of energy.
Well,
so the app then lets you just
the app engages it, Right.
The app engages it, and the app has a couple other features too to make using it in presentations easier. I haven't had a chance to play with those yet, so I don't know exactly what it does. And I just dropped the laser on the floor, so I can't test the music.
Okay. All right. So my pick this week is one that I've talked about already, but I'm going to talk about it again because they've put out a major update that makes it way nicer to use. So it's Numerous. And since we last talked about it, they've also added a lot more stuff that you can do with it. So before it was like countdown clocks, the price of Bitcoin, the current temperature, and your elevation, and that's about it. So Numerous, using the name, the name kind of gives away what it likes to deal with. It likes to deal with numbers. So you can, I guess you can supposedly write your own type of extension for this number deal. But there's temperature, health, stock prices, Twitter followers, step counter. I should maybe add that. Elevation, distance from, ... I like that. Should add that in. I wonder if I could put in the International Space Station. That would change a lot. an event, so a countdown. You can put Nest in there, so you can put your Nest thermometer temperature in there. Something from If This Then That. I don't know how that works yet, but yeah, I use the countdown clock thing still. That's primarily why I have it. But it's free, so it's worth checking out. But the neat thing about it is you can now integrate that with Notification Center. So now I have three different countdown clocks and I don't have to open the app ever again. I can just swipe down in Notification Center. It's at the bottom and I see my countdown clocks. And it's right there.
That's cool.
So you can put in all those different things, current temperature, elevation, and whatever else we'll hook up with it, step counter. I should put that in there. That'll be neat. So yeah, it's free. It's called Numerous and you should check it out. Also.
All right. Jeff sent me the link to this iPin thing.
Okay.
Design wise, it's awesome.
Yeah. It looks really cool. It's tiny.
It's super tiny. Yeah.
Yeah. And my internet is just freaking out. So we should wrap it up. So that people don't get upset. But the other thing I wanted to mention as my maybe auxiliary pick is the movie Interstellar. I saw it on Wednesday night in 35 millimeter. Highly recommend seeing it on a bigger screen. They have the, I think it's 35 and 70 millimeter, I believe, the two IMAX formats. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That sounds correct.
Yeah. So I saw it in 35 millimeter at the Fremont, which is cool.
Nice.
I've never been there before and I was very impressed.
Love that theater.
It's really cool. And I was thinking that I would have to, if I actually wanted to see it early, because you get to see it early if you see it in IMAX.
If you're a total space nerd.
Yeah. Also, you have to prove that you're a space nerd.
but show up in your spacesuit.
You should really, if you have not seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, see that first. And then there's just so much about that movie that is a callback. I think that it's, I don't want to overhype it, but I really feel like it's the, like, 75, I'll say it's 75% of what you would expect to be a modern 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Interesting.
It's really good. And it's like 3 hours long. Totally captures your attention the entire time. If you're way, way too nerdy, I was watching a review from someone who, Scott Manley, actually, Jeff, you probably know who Scott Manley is, right? The, yeah. So he's an astrophysicist. I think that's what his profession is. He said he didn't like it for a number of reasons. Mainly because the science was not 100% perfectly correct. And I know a lot about the science that they were dealing with. I guess I knew just enough to be fine with whatever liberties they were taking.
To be fooled.
I don't know what you said. You're really, I can't hear anything that's going on.
Just
right
enough
now.
So you could be fooled.
Yeah, just enough so I could be fooled. Yeah. So ultimately, yeah, it was awesome go see it. And with that, I will say that you should check out our iPhone picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes and tell a friend. Of course, we're sponsored by Smile Software this month with Text Expander 3. Go check that out. And most definitely send a tweet to @TextExpander, thanking them for Text Expander and supporting this podcast. They really want to hear back from you, and that helps us out a lot. Feedback at theiosshow.com is where you can send your feedback and all that stuff. Advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, the TMO Daily Observations podcast. Thanks for being here, Jeff, if you're still here. Are you here?
I am. It's always awesome.
Do I sound terrible, too?
Nope.
No, you sound like your normal self.
I don't know why my downstream would be bad. That's weird. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, maccast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is the member version of the show.
Yep, thank you.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, Michael Johnston on Appler. We're all on Appler. Check that out. And I'm going to have to give Charter a call to let them know that whatever they did to my internet did not improve the situation, which is why we didn't have a show last week. But with that, we got through it. And hopefully we'll see you next time, next week, on the iOS show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.